I'm Daryl Harris, and having known Bob Weber has been one of the greatest treasures of my life. I count him as a dear friend, a dear brother, a dear father, and a dear mentor. I know he would be, and those of you who know him know that he would be uncomfortable with us spending this much time talking about him, telling Bob Weber stories, recollections, memories. He wants us talking about Jesus. But I'm comfortable talking about him because it seems like every story we tell about him eventually leads us back to Jesus, and that pretty quickly. When I ran into IWS faculty member Carla Waterman in the airport the other day when we arrived, she said, you know, Bob had this uncanny ability in making you feel like you were the most important person in the world. And he did that for every one of us. And I want to share a day that I had with him. This would have either been Advent of 96 or Advent of 97. I think it was Advent of 96. I haven't exactly gotten it placed calendar-wise, but I'd gotten to know Bob in the 90s, publishing some of his books. Very fortuitous opportunity for me personally as well as professionally. After that relationship came to an end, our company had been sold, and we were no longer in that business. Our friendship continued, and I was going to Chicago for a music conference, and I called Bob and let him know I was coming and said, will you be in town, Bob? Could we get together? He said, what weekend is it? And I told him, and I said, and I've got Sunday completely free. Could I worship with you wherever you're going to worship? And he said, how about this? Let me plan the day. Do you have the whole day? Let me plan the day. Pick me up at my hotel room early in the morning, took me to a downtown, very high church, Episcopal church, all the smells and bells, third Sunday of Advent. This incredible choir did wonderful, gorgeous selections from the Mozart Mass. Just an incredible worship experience. We went after that and debriefed and talked about the music and the text and all of the elements in that service, went to lunch together. And then after, he had found in the newspaper there was a gallery somewhere, an exhibit hall, that had a showing of Russian Orthodox and American Orthodox icons. And so we went there and we walked through, and not knowing as much about all that stuff as he did, I just followed him and listened to him talk. Here's what this one's about. Here's what this means. Here's what I know about this image. Talked about it. Then had some coffee. And then made it to about a 4:30 or 5 o'clock service in a suburban church, a much more low church worship experience for lessons and carols. Incredible. Then had dinner with Bob and Joanne, stayed over that home that night in their home. And then the next day took me to Wheaton and introduced me to a professor I'd been wanting to meet there. Made me feel like the most important person in the world. I know many of us have stories like that. Let's share those days with each other. His love of the church and his love of the Lord of the church was beyond anything that we can adequately express. There's one other little story that I'd be remiss in not sharing. The last time Jim and I were with Bob before he passed away, we were in Bob's and Joanne's home in November. We'd had a wonderful time sharing the Eucharist the night before. Got up, worshiped the next morning, and we were having breakfast before Jim and I had to go and catch the plane. And at the table grace, Jim had crossed himself at the prayer, and he happened to think and ask Bob, you know, Bob, I'm not sure in any of our discussions I've ever exactly understood where that practice came from. Where did it originate in Christian worship practice? And Bob furrowed his brow, and he looked off in the distance, and he said, you know, I'm not precisely sure, but I'm going to guess somewhere in the 7th or 8th century. Jim and I were nodding and taking that in. Then this impish grin sort of spread across Bob's face. He said, you know, he said, that's the answer I usually give to these kinds of questions that I just don't have a clue. He said, so little happened of any real consequence in the 7th or 8th centuries in the history books. He said, you can take whatever you don't know where to put and just stuff it there and no one will ever know. So even when he was that weak and sick toward the end of his life, the sense of humor was still robust and self-deprecating, never taking himself too seriously, taking his Lord, taking the kingdom, taking the church very seriously, but never taking himself too seriously. One of the reasons that I know that it's always okay to talk about Bob, because it always gets back to Jesus, because I heard him say this on more than a few occasions. He would say very sincerely, "I'm not a profoundly spiritual man. Not a man of deep faith. I don't feel like I'm a man of very fervent prayer. But I know a man who is. His name is Jesus Christ, and I am baptized into him. Thank you, Bob, for having been in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this man for as long as you did."